All right. And now I cannot remember if it was from a an interview clip I saw from a documentary or if it was from his book. But Michael Eric Dyson had said something along the lines of some of these young black people in the in these neighborhoods in, you know, New York and California, Detroit and, you know, Baltimore, Chicago, Illinois, areas like that, that, you know, when they're 12, 13 years old, mid-teens, they actually already have their funeral planned out, like who they would want to speak, what songs they want to be played and whatnot. Like me, you would ask me, I'd have been like, oh, play Gangsta Lean all day. Play Gangsta Lean and play Brother Lynch's Liquor Sick all day, right? and that was back in 2001. Maybe the interview was around 2000. Takes a while to write a book and do a documentary. And, And then we jump up here, and this is a year ago today, which means, you know, it's not really news, right? Like, even though it's on this daily news website, we've seen this website before, but it's just sort of an update of that going into the next generation, because Michael Eric Dyson was, he was talking about millennials, right, when he did that, and now this is Generation Z. So this is March 12, 2018, up on the Daily News by Matt Zarrell. And it's a young individual, goes by the name of Javon Davies. And Javon Davies said he wrote a letter listing what possessions he would leave his buddy if something were to happen to him while he was at school in Birmingham. Quote, "It was a PlayStation 4. Plus controllers, plus the game that goes to it, my cat, my TV, my Xbox," end quote, were the things that he would leave to his friend if something happens at school. Davies decided to write the letter after his middle school received a recent threat, quote, "It was just in case something happened to one of us, because some kids get rowdy up, and might end up getting somebody shot or something," end quote. At the end of the letter, Davies included a special message for his family, writing, quote, "You gave me the clothes on my back, and you stuck with me all the time. Love, Javon," end quote. All right, and that's, this is Generation Z. This is grade 6, so I'm guessing 11 years old. for mother Mariamer Davies, the realization that her own child is scared of being a victim at a school was difficult to take. Quote from the mother, "He just shouldn't have to go through that period, because for what? He's in sixth grade. You have a lot ahead of you, and these things going on, you shouldn't have to worry about, go through, or even think about." I mean, yeah, that's nice. I get so annoyed when people say shit like that. It shouldn't be bad. Nigga, we know that. We know it shouldn't be bad, but it fucking is. Like, and I got one, like, it smells like this false performed optimism to me, which is why I don't like people like that. I hate performative optimists. They piss me smooth the fuck off, because they're like deliberately not ready for when shit inevitably goes wrong. It's guaranteed 150,000% to go the fuck wrong. Everything is, all the fucking time. Like, unless you have enough class privilege, and I mean enough class privilege, right? Because and I think that would come from like intergenerational wealth, right, of exploitation of intercontinental white supremacy and capitalism. All right, so my folks out there tend to forget that poor ass motherfucking white people exist. I seen them again, like in my childhood years, the first time that I saw food stamps, I didn't know what the fuck that was. I was like, oh, coupons, I think it may have actually said coupons on them. And I was like, okay, coupons. So, like, you're going to take and show the coupon and then give them a lower amount of money. And he was like, no, these are food stamps my mom gave me. We can go up to the hostess store and get a bunch of donuts. And I was like, however this is working, you know, I'm a child and donuts. Like, we're on to something here. Like, I'm not going to argue this. I think I was actually, like, almost 11 at that time myself. So, yeah, man, this shit shouldn't be going on, but also Europeans shouldn't have got on boats with gunpowder and proceeded to destroy the planet. And, I mean, I'd be saying the same thing if we lived, oh, so many centuries ago, and it was Genghis Khan, right? Like, Genghis Khan was, like, with lower technology, doing the same shit that Europeans started doing 500 years ago, right? Right. I mean, I think so. Let's take a look and see what else we have here. All right, so that's going on. We riff, we talk. What's happening with you folks? It is tough to get these shifts done and get this podcast done. All right, now let's take a look here. A teenager is sentenced to 65 years for death of friend killed by cop. This is down in Alabama, and he's a young black lad. Oh, the one in the previous one, the kid that wrote out a will for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox, is also a young black lad, appeared to be a dreadlocked feller. This young cat has a clean haircut, very wavy about the top, down there in Alabama. And there's a report from USA Today. This 18-year-old individual, Lakeith Smith, was convicted of killing a friend, Adante Washington, on Friday. I almost said Deontay. I'm so used to Deontay, I was not ready for Adante. It's A apostrophe Dante. They caught me on that one. I'm very used to Deontay. All right, so Lakeith is convicted of killing Adante, all right? And he was offered a plea for 25 years, didn't accept it, fought the case, caught a 65. Now, this is what's interesting here. Now, and this is how OK Player is interpreting to us the news from USA Today. The way OK Player breaks it down for us is, however, Lakeith Smith didn't commit the crime he is being charged for, which stems from an incident that occurred 3 years ago in 2015. So, these individuals, they broke into two homes with four other teenagers in Millbrook, Alabama. And I gotta wonder why they broke into homes, right? Like right now, right? I have the, I do the podcast. I work down at the factory. Phoenix Kaliter, welcome to the ableism. Phoenix Kaliter gets a disability check monthly. And Phoenix Kaliter just got on the board of SWAP, which will come with a small stipend. We're blue collar. It's a little rough and tumble, but there is food in the refrigerator and the cabinet, and there is electricity and gas, and we can knock out the internet bill with these different revenue streams to where I'm not going to go break into a house. So I can't imagine they just broke into a house because they were like, fuck, man, everything is so awesome right now. You know, we just want to go into someone else's place and take their stuff because we have so much stuff. It's fucking awesome. So I'd like to know what the circumstances were. All right. So, So, broke into two homes with four other teens in Millbrook, Alabama. Midway through the robbery, the police fellers arrived and a shootout occurred between the teenagers and the overseers, with Adante Washington fatally shot during the altercation. All right, so the police fellers. A police feller brandished and discharged their weapon. And I like how it says a shootout. You see, and that's the thing. again, okplayer.com, they're just breaking it down to us from what they got from USA Today. And, but how did a shootout just occur? Now, we tend to have an understanding of how the police fellers approach. All right. And, in you know, as much as we've reported a whole bunch of white-on-white crime stories, very rarely do white fellers of whom are armed get shot and or murdered by the police fellers. All right, so I got to wonder how the police fellers approached to where a shootout broke out. All right, something happened in between those two sentences. Now, so although Lakeith Smith did not shoot Adante Washington, he was still charged with murder as an adult under Alabama's accomplice liability laws. Because of the laws, Lakeith Smith is legally liable for the behavior of another who commits a criminal offense if that person aids or abets the first person in committing the offense. On some level, so it's like, did he aid and abet the police fellers? How? Tell me something. But again, I mean, and this is the South, right? Like, they try less to make sense out of their white supremacist practices than other areas. The South is a little bit more belligerent about their white supremacy, where they're just like, oh man, I tell you what, nigger boy, you ate a cantaloupe on Sunday, and that is worth 50 lashes, young man, I tell you that right now. What, you had a sandwich later in the day? Ooh, man, 3 years in the clinker. Get him on in there. Yeah, man, I tell you that, buddy. And so what they're giving him is, and it says the officer who fired the fatal shots at the 16-year-old was cleared of all charges by a grand jury. Hey, there you go. And Lakeith Smith received 30 years for murder, for not shooting someone, 15 years for burglary. Which, I mean, and if the police fellers caught him and they didn't get to go with anything, couldn't it be attempted burglary? Nah, fuck that shit. And 10 years each for two theft convictions to be served back to Bizak. And remember, 13th Amendment, 65 years, he's 18 years old now. Hey, slavery, baby, back to it. It's just slavery without the chattel part, really, because there is no forced breeding program. All right, dance it on forward, I'll tell you that right now. Let's see. Smith's lawyer, Jennifer Holton, argued that the teen didn't deserve the severe punishment. Oh, fucking really? Thank you, Jennifer. Quote, "The officer shot Adante, not Lakeith Smith," she said. "Lakeith was a 15-year-old child, scared to death. He did not participate in the act that caused the death of Adante. He never shot anybody." End quote. Yep, well, that does not matter to neo-Confederate white supremacists in at allness.